Okay, today's daf is by Metzia daf Samach Beis. We left off on daf Samach Aleph Amid Beis. We're at the two dots, second wide line at the two dots. So the Mishnah had gone through this whole complicated case to describe what tarbis is. To describe neshech was very easy. Malva sela behei dinarim. That's very easy. I give you X amount of money, you give me X plus one. That's ribis. That's neshech, rather. So sayim chitin b'shalosh. I give you two sides of chitin, you give me back three. That's neshech. Tarbis was this whole complicated case that I, just to refresh our memories, the Mishnah had said, I buy from you chitin bedinar zahav, for one dinar of zahav, which is the market value, and then the market price changed, that amount of wheat is now worth 30 dinars of kesef. Now one dinar of zav is actually worth 25 dinars of kesef, so now it went up in value to 30 dinars of kesef. So he says to him, give me back my chitim, because I want to be able to sell them now, because now it's worth more money. So and I want to be able to buy wine with those chitim, so with the money that I get from those chitim. So he says, you know what, instead of giving you back the chitim, I will instead owe you the value of the chitim, which is 30 dinars of kesef. So let me just owe you that value, and I happen to have wine which is worth 30 dinars of kesef, or I'll instead give you wine that's worth 30 dinars of kesef. But the only problem is v'yayin ein lo, he doesn't actually have wine. So the Gemara is going to discuss what in the world is going on in this case. But before we get to that, the Gemara has some side discussions. First, frak the Gemara, just the very concept of first quoting the cases of neshech, which are obviously ribis, and then these other cases of tarbis. So atu kalhani damrin natashta lav ribisu, meaning it's very interesting the way the Gemara the Mishnah phrases it is that, and the following is ribis. What? And all the previous cases that were really ribis aren't ribis? When it's four for five, when I'm just trading off a lesser amount for a larger amount, that's not ribis? Samar Rabbi Avo, ad kan shel Torah mikan ve'ilch shel Devarim. Now that's exactly the point we're making, that up until this point we were describing ribis d'oraisa. Now, from here on in the Mishnah, this complicated case is only ribis midrabanan. V'chein amarava ad kan shel Torah mikan ve'ilch shel Devarim. Ad kan yachin rashav yilbash tzaddik, and up until this point, we were describing cases which the Gemara is paraphrasing a pasuk, as it sometimes does. It's not exactly a quote from a pasuk, but it was a paraphrase of a pasuk, which essentially means that a rasha will do something, but his tzaddik son will reap the benefits. Meaning, this guy is going to benefit from his ribis, and he's going to yarshin it over, give it over to his children, who are going to yarshin that money, and they're going to use that money. So up until this point in the Mishnah, with the real ribis cases, we were describing cases where his children are going to be able to benefit from the money. So, frak the Gemara, wait a second, ad kan v'su lo? And the subsequent cases in the Mishnah, the children are not going to be able to benefit from the money? What do you mean? If you can even benefit, if the children are even able to yarshin the money in cases where it's ribis d'oraisa, where it's the strongest form of ribis, of course they should be able to benefit in yarshin when it's cases of ribis d'rabanan, where it's a less strong form of ribis. So, ella afilu ad kan yachin rasha v'yobot tzadik. No, the point is that even on ribis d'oraisa, the children are going to be able to Yarshin. Ad kan ribis ktsutsa mikan ve'elach avak ribis. Up until this point in the Mishnah, we were describing ribis ktsutsa, which was a prearranged ribis deal, that I'm going to lend you X amount of money, you're going to give me back a certain amount of interest. But after that, the next part of the Mishnah, it's avak ribis. It wasn't a prearranged ribis, it was sort of ribis on the fly, meaning I was going to give you money, you were supposed to give me back that same amount of money, but things changed, prices changed, and the deal therefore changed. So that's avak ribis, that's not ribis ktsutsa. Amar Rav Elazar, ribis ktsutsa yotza b'dayanim. There's a big difference halachically between ribis ktsutsa, which is ribis d'oraisa, and avak ribis. Ribis ktsutsa, you can sue the guy and get the money back with dayanim. Dayanim are going to paskin that he has to give it back. Avak ribis ain't a yotza b'dayanim, but avak ribis, dayanim are not going to make him return the money. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, and this is critical, this machlokas is going to take up the Samach Beis Amar Aleph. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, afilu ribis ktsutsa nami, eina yotza b'dayanim. So does ribis ktsutsa, is ribis ktsutsa yotza b'dayanim, or is it not yotza b'dayanim? Machlokas between Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Lazar says it is yotza b'dayanim, Rabbi Yochanan says it's not yotza b'dayanim. That's going to be the machlokas that takes up the entire Samach Beis Amar Aleph. Am Rabbi Yitzchak, my time with Rabbi Yochanan. What's Rabbi Yochanan's svara, what's his source to assume that even ribis ktsutsa is not yotza b'dayanim? So he's going to have three suggestions. Number one, Damar krab b'neshach nasan v'sar b'slakach v'sar b'slakach v'chay lo yichyas kol toy v'sa'ela asa. L'misa nitan v'loli shavon. And the drasha is that we refer to that the ribis is l'misa nitan v'loli shavon, that ultimately it gives over to death, but not for hashava, meaning the pasuk specifically does not mention a hashava. It says lo yichya, but it does not mention a chiyav hashava. So a chiyav hashava is not included in the punishment of charging ribbis. Second possible source, Ravad Barava Amar, Amar Kra, Al Tikach Meito Neshach Vesarbis, Via Resam El Kecha. Don't take ribbis, and you have to fear the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Mora Nitan, Velo Lishavon. So we see that there's an issue of Mora, of fear, but not Hishavon. Again, the Pasuk very conspicuously leaves out any Chiyuv Hashava. Rava Amar, Migufe de Krashmi Alei. No, just look at the Pasuk itself, how the Pasuk says it. Mos Yumast Amav Bo Yiyah. That's the end of the Pasuk, of the first Pasuk they recorded. It's Pasuk in Yechazkel, right? The same Pasuk, Meneshech Nasan Vesar Bislakach Vechai Lo Yichya Eskal Atoy Vesay La Asa, then concludes with Mos Yumast Amav Bo Yiyah. What's that phrase teaching me? Hukshu Malve Ribis L'Shov Chedamim. All this talk of death is meant to compare the person who lends with ribbis to the shovchei damim, to murderers. Ma shovchei dam lo nitnu li shavon, just like a murderer can't possibly return what he has taken, af malvei ribbis lo nitnu li shavon. So too, someone who lends money with ribbis, although he can possibly return it, he has no halachic requirement to return that which he has taken. Tosfos is bothered. Where do we talk about murderers over here? We talk about death, but are we really talking about murderers? Most you must damav bo yiyah, says Tosfos Tema. Hechi mashma damav bo avera deshvichas damim. Just because it says damav bo, how does that indicate that we're talking about actual murder? Halo ba'ovi yidoni v'kama feresh lo sheich l'shvichas damim k'siv d'meyam bam. The phrase d'meyam bam is used in Tanakh a lot of times by averas that have nothing to do with murder. Ovi Yadoni, right? People who try to figure out what to do in the future based on all sorts of magic and things like that, talking bones and all the, you can learn in the Mishnayos and Sanhedrin describe exactly what Ovi and Yadoni are, very unusual types of ways of trying to stay in touch with spirits and be able to figure things out. But it's not murder. It's wrong. It's nisa daraisa, but it's not murder. And yet it says demei and bum. So just because it says demei and bum or dam of bo, that's a raya that we're talking about shvichas damim. What's the connection to shvichas damim? So it says tells us v'yishlomar demiyisura de dam of bo darish. It's the extra words dam of bo. De'ilavachi l'may kasve, meaning those words must be here to teach me something. De'ilu migmar skila beribis me over yedoni. So maybe you'll tell me no. Maybe we're supposed to learn out the punishment that you get for ribbis is the same punishment that you get for ov the yadoni, that you should get skila for it. So he says that can't be. The phrase dam of bo cannot be teaching me the din of an onesh that you get for ribbis being the same as the onesh for ov yadoni. Chada divrei Torah midivrei Kabbalah le'alfinan. First of all, because the phrase dam of bo appears in a pasuk in Yecheskel, it's not a pasuk in the Torah, and we do not derive dinim daraisa from psukim in Navi. Visu lamatzinu misa gabe mamon, and also it's just counterintuitive. We don't find another example in the Torah where the avera is an avera in mamonis and the onesh is an onesh misa. You never find such a thing that there's an onesh misa for an avera din in mamonis. Uperikam de tmuri yesh besvarim v'kasav asrei v'holid ben paritz shofech dam l'fizeh asi shaper dehuk shubehedya. Meaning in the first parak of tmura, so there are some girsaos that related not just to the phrase dam of bow, that's not where we derive that there's a hekish to a murderer over here. It's the hemsheikh of the psukim, where it says shofech dam, where it actually says beferish the phrase shofech dam, and that's what we're relating. We're relating that phrase shofech dam, and we're saying, so you see that malvei ribis have some connection to shofchei damim, namely that neither of them are nitan li shavon. But bottom line is, what's the reason for Rabbi Yochanan, what's the source for Rabbi Yochanan, that even ribis ketsutza is not yotze b'dayanim? So it's one of these three drushes, one of these three psukim. So Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, the logical next question, my time is Rabbi Lazar. What's the source for Rabbi Lazar to say that ribis ketsutza is yotze b'dayanim? So says Rabbi Lazar, pasuk says v'chay achichi imach, that pasuk says v'chay achichi imach, and you have to be able to provide him what he needs to be able to live. And if you're going to keep his ribbis money, you're going to make his life impossible. So part of the chayach yichimach is to return ribbis money that you have collected from him. So asks the Gemara of Rabbi Yochanan, again, the normal thing to do when you have, Rabbi Yochanan has his pasuk, Rabbi Elazar has his pasuk, so the next thing to do is, what's Rabbi Yochanan going to do with Rabbi Elazar's pasuk? He obviously doesn't darshan it the same way Rabbi Elazar does. Rabbi Yochanan, hai v'chayach yichimach mayavadai. What's Rabbi Yochanan going to do with the pasuk of Rabbi Elazar? Now, before we get to the answer, the other obvious question, how you would normally expect the Gemara to flesh out the conversation, of what's Rabbi Elazar going to do with the pasuk of Rabbi Yochanan, is never asked by the Gemara. The Gemara never raises the question of what's Rabbi Elazar going to do with Rabbi Yochanan's pasuk. The Ritva notes that it's never asked, and he's bothered, why isn't it asked? And the Ritva says that the question of what Rabbi Yochanan does with Rabbi Elazar's pasuk makes a lot of sense, because Rabbi Elazar's pasuk is a pasuk in Vayikra Perek Chafei, a pasuk in the Torah. So for a pasuk in the Torah, you could ask, what's Rabbi Yochanan going to do with that pasuk? But for a pasuk in Midivrei Kabbalah, which is ki'ilu it's an asmachta, meaning it's not, you don't need to use every pasuk Midivrei Kabbalah, every pasuk in Navi for a drasha, so for the pasuk midivrei Kabbalah, assuming that that the source is in fact that pasuk in Yecheskel, right? That was the subject of some dispute, right? And assuming it's not from the pasuk of Al Tikach Meito Neshek V'Sarbes V'Yireis Me'elkecha, then you understand why he would not. Why the Gemara does not follow up by asking what Rabbi Elazar does with the pasuk midivrei Kabbalah. He doesn't have to do anything with the pasuk midivrei Kabbalah. Not sure if you understand, like Rav Ada Bar Ava, who says that it's from even Rabbi Yochanan darshan's from the pasuk in the Torah, what he's going to do with the pasuk. Although it could be that we've already answered that, because what's the pasuk that Rav Ada Bar Ava says is the source for Rabbi Yochanan? Al tikach meito neshek v'sarbis v'yireis me'elkecha, which is, by the way, the same pasuk that then concludes with v'chayach yichimach. So it actually is that same pasuk. What's he going to do with v'yireis me'elkecha? So he'll do with dvar manitan leiv or something, you know, that which the Gemara already darshaned. There's what to do with v'yireis me'elkecha, so maybe that wouldn't be such a problem. So anyway, so what's Rabbi Elazar going to do with Rabbi Yochanan's pasuk? What's Rabbi Yochanan rather going to do with Rabbi Elazar's pasuk of v'chayach yichimach with that last phrase of the pasuk? He uses it for the following brisa. Very, very famous case. Two guys are traveling on a road, and one of them has a jug of water. If they both share the jug of water, they're both going to die. If one of them drinks the jug of water, that one will survive and will make it back to civilization and will be able to survive. Darish ben Petura, mutav sheyishtu shneim v'yamusu, val yira echad mehem b'misasra shel chavero. So ben Petura says, better for them both to die than for one of them to have to see the death of the other. Let them share the water. Now, what's it going to do if they share the water? It will give them chaye sha'am, stama. They'll be able to live a few more minutes, a few more hours, whatever it's going to be. They're not going to make it all the way back to civilization, to the yishuv, but they'll be able to live for a few more minutes. The chaye sha'a of both of them is going to beat out the chaye olam of one of them. Now, obviously, when we refer to chaye olam, it's not literally olam. It's not a guarantee he's going to live forever. But indefinite life, as opposed to where you know that there's a certain amount of time that the guy has left, and that's called chayisha. So a lot of the questions in halacha about chayisha versus chayolam, hospitals in Zilberstein has a whole series of questions from hospitals where they have one machine that can keep a person alive, and you have, let's say, a very chashuv talmud chacham who they can give chayisha to, and someone who's not at all a chashuv person who they can give chayolam to. So which one wins? So this could is the source of the answers to those questions. Let's just see how the Gemara fleshes out. Till Rabbi Akiva came along and he said, no, Pasuk says v'chayach yichimach, which teaches me your brother's supposed to live with you, but primarily it's you. Your life comes before your brother's life. Primarily you have to worry about yourself, and then you can worry about him. So if you have the jug of water, keep the jug of water for yourself. You don't have to worry about him at that point in time. Now it's interesting, the drasha that Rabbi Akiva makes is v'chayach yichimach, which implies apparently that he is secondary to you, that you're primary. The Maram Shif, he's quoted in the Birei Adaf over here, asks that how does that drasha make sense in light of the fact that the Gemara in Kiddushin very famously says ki tov lo imach, that imach b'machel imach b'mishta, that kalakona eved ivri is kekona adol niatzmo. When you purchase an eved ivri, you have to treat him as greater than you. You have to give up. If you have only one piece of steak, it goes to him. It doesn't go to you. One bed, he's the one that gets it. It's literally kekona adol niatzmo. How does the Gemara know that? Where does the Gemara darshan it from? A very similar phrase, ki tov lo imach, that he should be with you. But wait a second, if the words with you means tafel to you, so why is it kekona adol niatzmo? You should still be the adol, you should still be the eved. Right? With you means that he's tafel to you, that he's secondary to you, that he's not quite like you. So that's the kasha of the Maram Shif. What in fact is the mashmaos of imach? Does imach mean tafel to you? Does imach mean even on top of you? So he's metarets that over here, if you're going to say that he has to save his friend from a chaya chich imach, so it's going to turn out that his friend would have the same obligation. Right, his friend is also chayiv in v'chayach chichimach. So he's going to have to save him. So same with davar sof, they're going to go back and forth, and we're not going to ever resolve anything. But by the eved adon relationship, the mitzvah of ki tov lo imach is a mitzvah on the adon toward the eved. There's no such reciprocal mitzvah on the eved toward the adon. So that would resolve it right away. So imach really should mean that he should be above you. But over here, it can't mean that just because it would be impossible. There would be no way to ever resolve the issue. So the guy who has the water would therefore keep it. He's also metaritz that the pasuk imach teaches us that they're even. Not that that one is above the other. No, it teaches us 50-50. It's mamish together. Imach, literally, as you would imagine, means they're totally even. So if you have one pillow, one bed, so you use it one day, and then the Eved will use it another day. And at the time that the Eved is using it, so then it's kekona adol niatzmo. He's saying you don't have to give up your pillow and your bed every night to the Eved. You have to share it. But in those nights that he's using it, you're going to be sitting there tossing and turning, feeling, ah, I was kona adol niatzmo, right? But it's not always going to be a kona adol niatzmo. But over here, there is no metzius where they could be shkulim, where they could be even. There's nothing you could do, because one of them is going to drink, the second one's going to die, because it doesn't make sense for both of them to die. So one of them is going to drink, the other one's going to die. So that's just so. Therefore, we darshan chayecha kodmim. That's because we have no other choice of what to darshan. Anyway, that's just based on the wording of the drasha. How we're going to learn anything out from the wording of the drasha. Now the Minchas Chinuch explains. There's a well-known Chazon Ish over here. We'll get to in a second. Minchas Chinuch explains that Ben Patura had a very simple svara that a person has to be most of nefesh in order to save his friend's life, even if it's not an issue of killing his friend. Meaning we know that it's Yarig Val Yavar to not murder, right? Murdering someone is Yarig Val Yavar. You have to get killed rather than kill somebody else. So Ben Petura, his svar is pretty simple, that even when it's not murder, be a dayim, letting him die is also going to be Yarig Val Yavar. Better get yourself killed than to be the one to enable your friend to die. So that's part of your chiyuv of saving his life. So says the Minchas Chinuch, according to this, if you're going together with a tinok, with a baby, so meaning Minchas Chinuch then follows it up as follows. So if you give all the water to your friend, he's going to have that same iser. He's also not going to be allowed to let you die at his expense. So therefore, Ben Petura says that's why we split it. Now, he said, Minchas Chinuch then suggests, Lefi Zeh, if you're on the road with a child, with a young child, so yeah, give him all you would for sure have to give all the water to the child. Because the child does not have that reciprocal chiyuv. He doesn't have a chiyuv to save your life, you have a chiyuv to save his life. So then you would have to give all the water to the child. The Chiddush Din that he suggests, that Ben Petura would hold, not that Rabbi Akiva would hold, that Ben Petura would hold, based on, if you were to assume that this is in fact the Svara. The Chazon Ish writes that even Ben Petura would say that Chayev Kodmin L'Chayev Kaladin, that your life has to come first, you don't have to be Moser Nefesh to save your friend's life. But that's only when it's an issue of who's going to live, either you or your friend. One of you is going to live, so Chayecha Kodmin. But over here it's different. The reason Ben Petura does not say Chayecha Kodmin over here is because, as we said before, it's not he's going to live, I'm going to die. There's another option. We can both live for another few hours. There's chai sha'a for both of us. The chai sha'a for both of us is what Ben Petura thinks is more valuable or is worth giving up the chai olam of one of them. So in order to ensure chai sha'a for both of them, that's how he that's how he understands it. Now, the Birch Savram says that it's very difficult. You think about the whole Yaharik Valiavar Sugya, this is very difficult to compare to the whole Yaharik Valiavar Sugya, because the whole idea of Yaharik Valiavar is that there are only three Averus Chamurus that you have to give up your life for, right? So to violate Lo Samod Al Dam Re'echa, you don't have to give up your life for. So what's Ben Petura thinking? That I should die rather than Lo Samod Al Dam Re'echa? So it's a difficult kasha, something that has to really be worked out, how exactly this sugya fits perfectly with the Yaharik Valiavar sugya. Okay, but we got a whole daf ahead of us, so let's get moving. So the Gemara is going to try to bring rayas. We had this machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar, do you or do you not have to give back ribis ketutza? Would dayanim require you to give back ribis ketutza? So the Gemara is going to bring rayas. Raya number one, meisvei. He niach lem avi ema shel ribis, afal pi shi yodin shein shel ribis. If a parent leaves a child over money that he got from ribis, even though you know it's ribis, ein chayav lachzir, and the children don't have to return it. The implication, though, is ha'avien chayav lachzir, but it's chayav lachzir, but the father is chayav to return it. So you see that when you collect ribis, there is a chayav min adin to return the ribis, that you do have to return it. So says Gemara, no, bedinu davuan nami lo mechayav lachzir. The father wouldn't have to return it either. Vaydi to kabayil misna seifei niach lan avien par v'talus v'kal dover amasuyim chayav lachzir b'nei kvod avien tad nami resha b'ditu. Since the seif is going to say that if there are very clearly defined items that you have, that you yarshin from the father, that in those cases you do have to return it, so the ratio also talks about the yarshim. But in achinami, the halacha of the ratio that you don't have to return the ribbis could have been about the father as well. The father does not have to return the ribbis. It's just that yarshim have a unique chiyuv that if the item is a very clearly defined item where everyone's going to know it and everyone's going to look at it and everyone's going to say, oh, that's the cow that the father got in by ill gains, right? So that's going to be a terrible design to the father, that they do have to return. So says Gemara, Vahani Mimrei Kvod Aviyah Mimachayvi. Why in the world should they have to honor their father? Meaning, we said if there's a para, davar mesuyam, you do have to return it for the covet of their father. These people are chayiv to honor their father. Karikan v'nasi ba'amcha lo sa'ar, losa maisa amcha. Shouldn't we say, just like there's a halacha, that nasi ba'amcha lo sa'ar is only when he's osa maisa amcha, is only when he's someone who's basically religious, so honoring your father should also be only when he's basically religious? So if your father's not osa maisa amcha, if he's charging ribbis, why should you have a chiyuv to honor him at all? So answers the Gemara, k'tam rabbi pinchos mishmei derava, b'sha'asa tshuva. No, we're talking about a father who did tshuva. Hachanam b'sha'asa tshuva, right? That if he did tshuva, then you still have a chiyuv to honor him, and therefore they should have to return it. Frak the Gemara, the obvious question: Yasa tshuva, my baigabe. Yeah, he did tshuva. Then why is he still holding on to it? Why didn't he return it? So Tos says, what do you mean? Why didn't he return it? Who says you have to return it? Who says there's a chiyuv to return it? So Tos says, well, mandi amar ribis ketutzi yatsu b'dayanim parak shapir doyil alachzir. Right? If you're going to assume, like Rabbi Elazar, the Ribbis Ketutza has to go back, so then we understand the question very well, because Ribbis Ketutza, if he did tshuva, he should have returned it. But the Tos says, but this is a kasha even within Rabbi Yochanan. V'afilu man diyamar eini yotza, mikol makom havelo lahachzir mishum laaz uboshes. V'kivin dolo chashash kamban v'ein lam lachosh l'kvodo. Even if there's no chiv to return it, and even if Dayanim aren't going to make you return it, you should be embarrassed by your averos. There should be a busha over averos that you have. So if you have this avera in your hands, and it's obvious that you got this through an avera, it should be embarrassing to you, and you should want to return it. So if he really did tshuva, he probably would have returned it. That's what the Gemara is assuming. If he really did tshuva, even if he wasn't mechuyev to return it, he should have been misalik himself so completely from the avera that he should have returned it.
I just said, if the children have chiyuv only because kavod avihem, and they saw that kavod avihem, he didn't care.
And it didn't bother him, right. So then, but I mean, that's not really the Gemara's, I mean, the Gemara's question is, if he did tshuva, my bayi gabe, meaning Tos is trying to answer that question. Misvara, you're right. So the Gemara answers, shlo hispik lahachzir at shemes. He wanted to return it, but he died. You know, people don't always plan their deaths. He got hit by a truck, and that's it. So he wasn't planning on dying that day, but he certainly maybe wanted to return it. So very interesting. The Gemara had asked, who says the chayv in the covet of their father? After all, he's not osa maisa amcha. And then the Gemara says, he did tshuva, so he's osa maisa amcha. So is that lahalach? If a father doesn't do tshuva, And he's just not also my son. You have a father who's not religious. And over here, we don't even know if he's not religious. He charges ribbis. He violates an isser in the Torah. It doesn't say anywhere, I don't think, that if you charge ribbis, that it's kilu kafar pekala Torah kula. It's not like chil Shabbos. Right, so the father doesn't have avera. There's no chiv of kibud av. So in fact, the Torah paskens like that. The Torah says if the father's a rasha, then there's no chiv to be mechabed the father. The Rambam writes that even if the father's a rasha, afilu av rasha bal averos, still you have to be mechabdo mesiare mimenu. You have to have mora av. You have to have kibud av. Even if the father's a rasha, the Torah's kasha is come on. It says in our Gemara not like that. I mean, the Gemara is a very strong raya to the Torah that if the father's a rasha, you don't have to be mechabed. So the Beis Yosef says that our sugya is talking about ribbis. Meikra Adin, listen to the lumdus of the Beis Yosef. He says, Meikra Adin, the children are not chayiv to return the father, the ribbis that the father charged. However, the because of the covenant of their father, we're going to make them return it, but that's only if the father did tshuva and he didn't have a chance to do tshuva until he didn't have a chance to actually return it until he died. So essentially, he says, if the father wanted to return it, he just didn't have a chance to. So the father never really gave this over as Yerusha to his children. He didn't want this to go to his children. He wanted this to go back. That's where the Chiyuv HaShava comes from. Mikra Din, there's really no Chiyuv HaShava. The whole Chiyuv HaShava to begin with is because the father, we assume, if he did tshuva, really wanted the money to go back. So that's why he never yarshined it over to the children. When he didn't do tshuva, the children yarshined it, and they don't have to return it midin ribis, and it's also not midin kavod aviyam, because the din of kavod av is mishal av, and not mishal ben. Now it's their money. So they don't have to spend their money for kavod av. But by every other din of kavod av that does not involve chisar and kist, that does not involve spending my own money that's really mine, so then they're chayiv even if their father's a rasha. So that's how the Beis Yosef understands how to fit the Rambam in with our Gemara. The Taz points out that according to the Beis Yosef, why does the Gemara ask that the children are chayiv in the kavod aviyam because he's not also maisa amcha? The Gemara should have asked that they don't have to return it because it's chis, meaning ikar chasam and hasefer over here. What the Gemara really should have said is they don't have to return it because it's theirs, and the chiv of kibud av is not mishal ben, it's mishal av. And the Gemara, so if that's the real upshot of the sugya over here, it's missing. It really should have said that somewhere, and it doesn't say that anywhere. The Radvaz has a much more creative way of understanding it. The Radvaz says the sugya is talking about father dies without doing tshuva, and they're not chayv to be mechabed him because there's no way to be misakein. There's no way he's ever going to do tshuva. It's over. He's dead. Whereas the Rambam says your father's a rashi, he's left to mechabed him because you never know. He still might do tshuva. So since there's always the potential that he'll be misaki in his ma'asim, so you always have to give him cover on that chance that he might do tshuva, which is an unusual idea, that we're not danim kasher usham, that you have to assume, right, you have to assume that he's not yet frum, but that he's going to be frum soon. The Pnei Yeshua says, no, nothing to do with anything over here. What's the Gemara talking about? The Gemara says, you don't have to be mechabit him by what? By giving back his ribbis. When he what? When he's an avarian on ribbis. Doesn't mean you have to be mechabit him in other things. When he's an avarian, but also davar, so you don't have to be mechabit him with that issue, with the exact area where he's nichshal. In that area, you don't have to be mechabit him. But an overall chiv of kibud, absolutely. Overall chiv of kibud, you would still have. That's all the Gemara is saying. Just in that area, you don't have to go and show him any honor. It's like some sofer writes in the tshuva, that you don't give, when he was asked about giving an aliyah to people who don't observe certain halachos, he said, well, at the very least, you shouldn't give them the aliyah on the psukim where he's nichshalin, right? So you don't give an aliyah to whatever, to someone who, let's say, a malv beribis on the psukim of ribis. That would just be inappropriate. So says Gemara Vayta, Meisvei, let's try to bring another ayah. Gazlanim malv beribis af pisha gavu makzirin. Gazlanim malv beribis, even though they've collected, they have to go back. Gazlanim mai af pisha gavu ika. Now, we're talking about gazlanim. What does it mean, even though they collected? Bottom line, I guzzle guzzle. If they stole it, they stole it. There's no collecting. It's stolen. V'lo guzzle gazlanim karisalu. And if they have not yet stolen it, so what? Because they're planning on stealing it, you're calling them gazlanim? They're not gazlanim if they haven't yet stolen anything. Ela ema gazlanim mainiu malve ribis. Gazlanim are malve ribis. And the point is, afal pisha gavu makzirin. That you see malve ribis, even if they've already collected, they have to return it. So you see, clearly it's a raya that ribis ktsutzas yotze b'dayanim, that you have a chiv to return it. Answers that Rabbi Nechem and Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov exempt from Malkus, the lender and the arev, because there's a kumaseh, there's a way of fixing their avera. My kumaseh, what is the kumaseh? What's the meaning? Any lav anita klaseh, any lav that you can fix by doing a mitzvah saseh, is you're not going to get malchus on. So what's the kumaseh over here? Lav mishum damrinilu komu ahaduru. Isn't it that you tell them go return it and then you have fixed your lo saseh? So you see that it's a lav anita klaseh. But what else do you see? That's Rabbi Nechamin, Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov. But mechal the Tanakama suffer lav bnei adurin inu. The Tanakama holds that they do get malchus. Why do they get malchus? It's lav anita klaseh. So elamai, you hold that you don't have to return it. So there is no mitzvah to return it. If there's no mitzvah to return it, it's not a lav anita klaseh. And then they would get malchus. So says Gemara, no, our analysis is totally off. Lo, my kumaseh, you know what kumaseh means? Lekro ashtara. The kumaseh isn't to return it. It's before you ever borrowed the money. It's before you ever got the money. Before you ever collected the money. You lent the guy $100. You wrote, and there's a shtar that says he owes you $125. There's a shtar that says he's going to pay you back more than you lent him. So the kumaseh is to rip up the shtar. So my kasavar says Gemara, wait a second. What do we hold about the value of a shtar? If we hold a collectible shtar, is as if the money is already collected, ha'avdu yisurayhu. Well, then you already did the yisur, right? So it is a kumaseh after having collected ribbis. It's ki'ilu you collected ribbis. Having a shtar that says he owes you $125 is the same as having a check for $125, which is the same as having $125 cash. It says if you've collected it already. Ve'ilav kegavodami. And if a shtar is viewed as nothing, as if it's not yet collected, it's just a piece of paper, until you have cash in hand, it's nothing, halo avdav lo klum. Well, then you didn't do an avera. Of course you're not going to get malchus. Meaning, you're not going to get malchus because it's nita klasei. What do you mean? There's no issue yet. If it's lav kegavoy dami, you didn't take any money yet. So says Gemara, no. Liol muksav shtar omid livos lav kegavoy dami. Really, it's not as if you've collected the money yet. But what do you mean you didn't do any issue? You made a deal to lend money with ribbis. You gave the guy $100 al menas that he's going to give you back $125. You made a deal with ribbis. And the chiddush is deshuma milsihi. That's something. That's an iser. Making a deal whereby someone owes you ribbis, or he thinks he owes you ribbis, that's aser. That itself is the iser. So achinami mistavra, it's mistavra to assume this way. Ditnan, ve'elu ovrim below saseh, hamalva valova ha'areva edim. Who's included in the iser of ribbis? So the malva, the lova, makes sense. Borrower, lender, right? That's included. We have like five psukim, in total, seven, eight psukim that relate to the malva, lova together. Arev, the co-signer, he's also involved in a money transaction, right? He's going to be involved in money changing hands, so we certainly understand why he's there. V'ha edim, and the edim. So bishlam makulhu avin maisa. Everyone else does some sort of maisa with money. Ela edim, my oven. What did the edim do? All they did was verify what happened. They just verified that the deal occurred. So you see, that's a raya, that just making the deal is a problem. Setting up such a deal, that's what shuma over here means. There's no evaluation of property. Setting up such a deal makes all the difference. That itself is the isra, and that's why the edim are included. And if the edim are chayiv for setting up the deal, the malva, the lova, and the ariv are also chayiv for setting up the deal. They don't actually have to have the money change hands, the ribbis money change hands, in order to be in violation of an isra. Amrav Safra, kol she'ilu b'dinesa, period. That was the end of sugya. Amrav Safra, kol she'ilu b'dineya motzi'in milova l'malva, b'dineinu machzirin mimalva l'lova. He says an interesting comparison. He says, if you were to go into a gaisha courtroom, any time they would make the borrower pay the lender, we would always make the lender give that money back. Meaning any ribbis case where in the secular courts the borrower would be chayiv, we'd say, look, there was an interest payment, you have to pay it, you're chayiv to pay it. So we would always say the lender has to give it back to the borrower. Again, obviously no gea to our discussion over here of do you have to give back ribbis or do you not have to give back ribbis. But just that line the Gemara is troubled with. How can you make such a general statement? Anytime secular courts are going to make the borrower pay the lender, we're going to make the lender give it back. Kol shilu b'dinein ein motzin mi, and then he, this flip side is, kol shilu b'dinein ein motzin mi lava l'malve, any case where the secular courts would not make the borrower pay the lender, b'dineinu ein motzin mi malve l'love, we won't make the lender give the money back to the borrower. Samle avayla Rav Yosef, uklalahu? Really, such a general statement? Does there exist such a rule? Varisa besad b'dinein motzin mi lava l'malve, u'b'dineinu ein motzin mi malve l'love. What about sa b'sa? I give you X amount of produce in exchange that you're going to give me back X amount of produce. Now the halacha is, we hold that that's aser, but that's only aser midrabanan, it's not aser midaraisa. When it came to ribis she'ena ketzutza, when it came to ribis midrabanan, there was no machlokas. We are not yotzi b'dayanim. We're not motzi b'dayanim. We don't make you pay back with dayanim. There's no chiv to pay back when it's ribis drabanan. That's clear. That there was no machlokas about. So now, you have sa'a b'sa'a. The halacha is, in the secular courts, is that motziin milava l'malva. They would make him pay it. And yet, we wouldn't make him return it. We wouldn't make the lender return it back to the borrower, because it's only ribis drabanan. So this rule is not a true rule. Anything that the secular courts will enforce him paying, that will enforce paying back, is not true. So it's interesting that we make this comparison, by the way, perhaps highlighting the idea that it is normal. Ribis is a normal thing in most societies. Meaning the whole din of ribis is a chiddush, and the chiddush is that we can't conduct normal business practice when we're dealing with other Jews. Why can't we? In fact, there's a mitzvah to lend with ribis to gayim, right? There's an isra to lend without ribis to gayim. You're not allowed to lend to gayim without ribis. It's dafka to Jews that we have this major mitzvah that there's so many surim in the Torah that relate to it. Why is it dafka to Jews? Because that's the whole nature of the mitzvah is that you treat your own family, you treat your own brethren different than you treat other people. If your brother needed a loan, you don't charge him ribis. You give him a loan to help him out. So Klal Yisrael is your brother. So that's the nature of this mitzvah. The nature of this mitzvah is the unique relationship Klal Yisrael has with each other. And that's why the Gemara highlights that, yeah, in normal society, if you run a business, you can't run a business without charging interest. Of course you're going to charge interest. That's normal. It's not that that's evil. It's normal. It's just that when dealing with your brother, you go a little above and beyond normal. So anyway, but that's the comparison being made. But the Gemara says, is the comparison really such a rule? So the Gemara says, no, the reason why the secular courts will be motzi milava l'malva in that case is not, they don't view that as ribis at all. That's a pikadon in their eyes. You give someone a sa'av chitin and he gives you back a sa'av chitin, so it's like giving him a pikadon. Now, it's not really a pikadon, because I'm giving you the sa'av chitin not to hold on to and to watch and then to give it back to me. I'm giving you the sa'av chitin to use. You're not going to give me back the same sa'av chitin, right? You're gonna give me back a different... Can I borrow a tissue, right? You're not borrowing the tissue. You're not going to give back the same one. You're going to give back a different one in its place. So it's not exactly a pikadon. But still, if from the secular law perspective, that's the way they viewed it. They viewed it as a pikadon. They didn't view it as a ribbis issue. And therefore, it doesn't fit into this rule that Rav Safra had said. Amalei Ravina Ravashi v'arei mashkanta b'lo nachiasa to be dinei motzin milava l'malva. What about a mashkon that you give back where I give you a vineyard as a mashkon on the loan, and you're allowed to eat from that vineyard, and we're not going to take what you eat, we're not going to deduct that from what's owed, right? We're not going to say I owe you less money because you took all these fruits from the vineyard. So that's a mashkanta b'lo nachiasa to be dinei motzin milava l'malva, and in their dinim, they would make the lova pay it to the it would make the borrower pay it to the lender. If the borrower were to take some of the fruits, he's not entitled to those fruits anymore because it was a mashkon that he had given, so he shouldn't have taken those fruits. So in their dinim, they would make him pay it. But in our dinim, we wouldn't send it back in the other direction. We wouldn't make you repay it. They understand that as a sale. They don't view that as ribbis. They understand it's ki'ilu, you sold the field. Okay, so you're going to tell me every case we're going to come up with where his rule doesn't work, you're going to say, yeah, but that's not really the way they view it. So what's his rule? What's the case? What's he talking about? So hachi asal hashmina. Kol shi'ilu b'dinei motzin milava l'malva, b'dinei n'machzir milava l'lova, No, his rule was, all he was trying to tell you is that when you have ribis katsutza, where in the secular courts they're going to make the borrower pay the lender, we're going to make the lender give it back to the borrower. We pass on like Rabbi Lazar that ribis katsutza is motzi b'dayanim, that we are motzi b'dayanim ribis katsutza. Kol shilu b'dineim ein motzin, b'dineinu ein machzirin, that's ribis mukdemes, ribis mulcheres. That's not ribis katsutza, where you have a pre-arranged ribis deal. Ribis mukdemes, ribis mulcheres, which means that if I'm interested in this is maisim b'chol yomin business, I'm sure that if I'm interested in getting a loan from you and getting and securing a major loan, I'll take you to a ball game, I'll send you a gift. That's ribis mukdemes. I give you something in advance, hoping to get the loan from you. And ribis mulcheres is once you gave me the loan, I show my akaras hatov for the loan. By taking you to a ball game, sending you a gift, all those same things, that I give you something for the loan. That's ribis mukdemes / ribis mulcheres. Those are things that are only ribis midrabban, not ribis daraisa, and that we're not motzi b'dayanim. That we would not make the guy pay back min hadin with dayanim. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Now we're actually going to go back to analyze that complicated case in the Mishnah that when the Mishnah said ezeu tarbis, what is ribis, and the Mishnah gave this complicated case of ribis midrabanan. So now we're going to analyze what in the world was the Mishnah talking about. So Kate Sadlakah Menuchitim Bedina Zav Hakur Vechenashar, etc. Vechi Ein Lo Yayin Mayhavi. So part of the case we said was that the guy doesn't have wine. I mean, if you recall, it was originally a wheat deal, but the wheat went up in value, right? And he said, you know what, instead of me giving you 30 dinars for the wheat, instead of me giving you wheat, let me owe you 30 dinars, and instead of 30 dinars, I'll give you wine for the 30 dinars, but I happen to not have wine. So why does it matter that he doesn't have wine? Vatanya, ein poskin al peros achi yetze ashar. Yotze ashar, poskin afal pishe in lezeh yesh lezeh. Meaning, in general, when dealing with futures, it's going to be considered a problem of ribis. I can't say that I'm going to pay you back X value of produce if I don't have the produce on me. Except there's an exception to that rule, because we're always worried that it's going to change in value by the time we pay it back. But the exception to that rule is if yatsa ashar, if the price is already well known and it is available in the market. So as long as it's available for that price right now, I don't have to have it on me for me to be able to give that back as payment. Because if it's available, just give me the money and I can take it. I mean, you give me 25, I'll go and I'll buy it and I'll give it to you. So it's not something that we have to worry about fluctuations in the price, because right now it's available. I could go get it right now. So over here, isn't it a situation of Yatsa Ashar? Didn't the Mishnah say explicitly that it was Yatsa Ashar? So the Gemara is going to have three explanations of the case in our Mishnah. We're not going to get to all three today, but explanation number one, Amar Rabba, Masnisin Bebal Lachu B'demeya Naskinan, Uchidetanya, Haresha Yinosha B'chaveir Mana, V'halach V'amad Algarno. If you owe someone owes somebody $100, and he goes and he stands by the threshing floor, and he says, listen, I want you to give me my money back because I want to buy wheat with it. Amar lo, the guy responds, chitim yeshli shani nosin lach. Look, I have plenty of wheat. I can give you wheat. Why should I give you the money back so you could buy wheat? Let me just give you back wheat, and we'll look at what the price is now in the shuk, and I'll pay you back over the course of the next 12 months. Aser, delavki isara habaliyadu dami. That's going to be aser, because that's not the same as giving him money. Right? Rashi says, even if it's available in the market, that's only if you're giving me money. If you give me money, then I can say, okay, it's available in the market, so I can go use that money and buy what's available in the market. But if you're not actually giving money, what are you giving? You're giving back a chov that you're being mochel, meaning he owes you money already. So I'm not giving the guy money and saying, pay me the wheat at today's market price. I'm not giving him money for that. I'm telling him, yeah, the chov is mochel, but I'm not providing him with any cash that he can actually go out and buy the available produce in the market. So that's going to be a problem. So I'm leah buy it. So that's what's going on in our mission. That's why it has to dafka be a case where it's ain low in order for it to be a problem. Amle Abaye, That's the how he understands the case of the Mishnah. Abaye says, but that doesn't make any sense because if the problem is that you're not giving him money right now, so then even if it's yeshlo, even if the guy had the produce on hand, it should still be a problem. Ella Amar Abaye, so Abaye says it's a totally different pshat in our Mishnah. Masnisin k'tanir Rav Safra b'ribis b'ir Rav Chiya. T'tanir Rav Safra b'ribis b'ir Rav Chiya. Our Mishnah is going like what Rav Safra taught in the studies of ribis by Rav Chiya, as follows: that yesh tovarim shem mutarin va'asur mnei haramas ribis. There are certain things that technically are mutar, but are asur because it looks like a harama to do ribis. Ketzad. Amar lo halveni mana. Someone says, lend me $100. Amar lo mana ein lichitin mani yesh li shani nosin lach. Sorry, I don't have $100, but I can give you wheat worth $100. He gives him wheat worth $100, and then he buys it back from him for 24 sela. So he gave it to him. The guy said, I want 25 sela of wheat. He gave him 25 sela of wheat, and then he buys it back for 24 sela. So mutter, so that's technically mutter because it's just a sale. He just sold it back just for a cheaper price. But it's still us to do that because of an issue of haramas ribis. So hachinami, in our case as well, that's what our mission is talking about. I say, lend me 30 dinars. Amar leh shloshim dinar main li chitim shloshim dinar miyeshli shani nosanach. I don't have 30 dinars, but I have wheat worth 30 dinars. Nosanach chitim shloshim dinar mechazav lachem menu b'dinar zav. He gives him wheat worth 30 dinars, and then he buys it back for a dinar zav, which is 25 dinars of kesef. Iyis leh chamra lelove diyav leh b'shloshim dinar pirahu de kashakal minei v'leslan ba. So if he has wine that he can give him in exchange for the 30 dinars, so that's peros that he's taking, and that's no problem. But the loaf, he doesn't have it available, given the less lechamra vade mishkal zuzi minei mechzik ribis. Then it's going to be that he's taking money from him, and it's going to be considered ribis. Okay, we're out of time. I'll try to explain that again tomorrow, and we'll go through the four kashas on that tomorrow. That is